Are you ready to take your accounting career to new heights? Look no further. You're listening to From Zero to Millions, Accounting Edition. I'm Kelly Roars.
And I'm Bilal Mihana. Together, we bring you treasure trove of expertise in the world of accounting. As the founders of our own firms, we truly understand the challenges you face day in and day out. Our combined experience with small and online businesses, paired with our background in accounting and entrepreneurship, is sure to help you bring your firm to the next level.
Together, we'll deep dive into essential topics like staffing, technology, billing, goal setting, HR, and tax planning. We're here to provide practical advice that applies to CPAs, accountants, and business owners alike. So don't miss out on the opportunity to supercharge your accounting career and build the firm of your dreams. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of From Zero to Millions Accounting Edition. This week, Bilal and I have on Daniel Tobin. He is the owner of the wonderful IT company, T-Squared Technologies. He specializes in servicing CPAs. Thanks for coming on, Daniel.
Thanks for having me on board.
First, before we dive into the IT situation here, which I think anybody who's going out on their own, I always say, you must hire an IT company. This is nothing to mess around with. You have to have somebody behind you in terms of your software and security, a cybersecurity insurance policy. Like, all of these things are number one in this type of environment. But before we dive into that, I just wanted to share with you guys, we have a lot of CPA listeners on our calls and on our episodes here. And somebody that I've been close with and I've met through LinkedIn a while ago just officially gave his notice to a very large firm and is going up on their own. So I want to share these wins. People are sharing with us that they're listening to the podcast and they're really thankful for everybody that we have on. You know who you are and good luck. So Daniel, let's dive right in and tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the IT space.
Yes, thank you guys, and thanks for the introduction. So I'm Danny. I own T-Squared Technologies. Yeah, my background, I think started when I was probably like 12 years old. My mom gave me my first computer when we came to the United States. And it was funny because every week we had to go to Best Buy to the Geek Squad because I broke something on the computer. So it was either the sound that I just deleted the drivers from the computer or something else. And I don't know, since then, I've always been trying to figure out how computers actually work, technology in general. And I always had that like business mentality as well. So like through high school and college, I created my own side businesses here and there, fixing computers. People kind of know me as like, hey, can you fix my personal computer? Building computers and things like that just got me into it. But I feel like I just had that business mentality where I wanted to strategize with business owners on not just about the IT or like the technical side, right? Like, hey, when you think of a car repair person, it's okay, they're going to fix my car. But more of like, how can we leverage technology so that my business is successful? Because at the end of the day, that's what any business owner is trying to do. I came to Maryland because there was a business and information technology degree. And since then, I just stayed here. I met my wife my last semester of college. And here I am. So that's kind of a little bit about myself.
That's awesome. It's like it's a common theme on these episodes where we have business owners that like it's just something in your blood. You've always wanted to do some sort of side hustle, like starting in the high school days. So I love that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, you went to school for this in college and you spent a number of years like bouncing around different IT firms. And then you finally took that leap and started your own firm. Like, how was that for you? And did you always know that you wanted to work with CPAs, or did you work with CPAs in the past? Like, how did that come about?
That's an awesome question. Yes. Going back to high school, I had a family friend that just started her accounting firm, and she was like doing tax prep work. Back then, I didn't have any degree. I just knew computers and stuff like that. And she called me. She's like, "Hey, Danny, I need to centralize my Drake tax preparation software so that multiple computers can basically see the same database and we can all work at the same time." I thought that was really cool. So I started helping her, and she was like my first client. Like, without having a business, she was like my side client. And that's how I started with accounting. I just started seeing like how you guys operate. I really love the things that you guys do and why you do things in your industry. So I finished college, got a job in Maryland, but I always had that mentality that I did want to build my own business. So 2013, 2014, I just established the organization, but I was still working part-time up until the end of 2018, where I just like, hey, I can't do both things at the same time. So I have to fully focus on T-Squared. And that's how it came about.
So that was about 9 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. So somewhere in there. Yeah.
So the accounting industry has changed a lot. It's in 10 years in a decade. Obviously, as you went through this process of your company from your initial client until now, prior was more servers, in-house servers set up, not much online going on. Now there's more online firms that don't have a server, that have everything in the cloud. How is that transition from security perspective, where people have servers in their offices, to now everything's been cloud-based? Is it safer, not safer? What's the challenges that you've been seeing in the industry?
Oh, yeah, great question. I think there's pros and cons. I think for us as like cybersecurity experts, technology advisors, we love the clients that we get that are already on the cloud. And the reason for that is because it just simplifies everything. Back in the day, like you said, this is exactly how it was. We had a physical server that you bought, like you spend $5,000 on a server, and you got it up and running. It was good for the business owner because that was the only investment that they had to really make, except for like continuing maintenance and things like that. But think about it this way, right? You're basically taking the whole responsibility for the data that lives in your office or in that box that you call a server. So you have to put in place all of the, you know, cybersecurity technology in place so that bad actors are not getting in there and taking your information. Moving to the cloud, you take in a lot of that structure that those big providers like Microsoft or Google or Amazon already have in place. So all the security is pretty much there for you. You just have to kind of build that structure. But at the end of the day, for us, having things on the cloud becomes a lot easier to manage.
Now, as far as the accounting perspective from the cybersecurity, you said you mentioned that having cloud is safer, right? What other things that accountants should be doing besides, you know, having QuickBooks as the platform, having, let's say, UltraTax as the online platform, like Dropbox for sharing files? What else is there to protect the CPA and the clients from exposure that they should be doing that typically most accounts don't do?
I think out of all of our conversation, I think one of the things that I would really want to focus on for any CPA firm, you know, any size, is that you want to know where your data actually lives. A really simple exercise that I can see that not a lot of accounting firms are doing when they're coming to us is really understanding that cycle of their data. Because nowadays, as you said, like the accounting industry 10, 15 years ago is completely different from now. Now it's all software as a service. So if you look at all your software subscriptions, you probably have at least 20 subscriptions. And it's easy to implement it, right? Because it's like, we're so excited that this new application came out and we're just going to start using it. Come to find out, maybe we're not realizing what kind of private information we're putting out there. So the one exercise I would highly recommend for anybody to do is to just, on a drawing board, start putting together from the beginning of the client cycle, when you first acquire the clients, how that data flows through your organization. Maybe I'm using HubSpot for marketing, right? What kind of information I'm putting in there? All right, from there, do I go to Ignition for a proposal? And what kind of information does Ignition have? And then from there, you're moving on to the flow. And that gives you kind of, not just from the cybersecurity side of things, like where we got to protect the information, which is one of the exercises and why we're doing it, but also from your side is going to really help you, because you're going to start to see maybe I can change some of my flow internally, my SOPs or my standards or processes, to make sure that flow might be more simple, or if we have to fix anything in the mix of it.
For a CPA firm just starting out, okay, what's like the typical setup that you see with firms starting out from just security perspective?
So I'll kind of backtrack a little bit, because another thing that I think we see through the like technology maturity for any firm, like I just started going on my own, I'm an accountant, I need to figure everything out. They go through at least 3 cycles of their maturity in terms of technology. The first one is like the tech foundation. So when I'm talking about tech foundation, I'm talking about, am I the one that's going to have to resolve all the technical issues that come? And that is like the foundation, right? Do I have those things in place? Do I have the processes in place to make sure that all of the computers in my environment are getting updated at a specific time? Because before we dive into the cybersecurity side of things, we want to make sure that those things are, you know, taken care of, kind of like the house, right? You can't just build the roof if you don't have the foundation. Same thing with this. So there's some areas that fit into the tech foundation. Then from there, that's when they mature and they start thinking like, okay, I already have all my baseline of applications. This is what I'm using. Now I'm moving to the cybersecurity side. You can start to tell if you're in that cycle, if you're now start thinking about, how do I protect my clients' information? Or my clients are coming to me and, you know, during the sales cycle, they're asking, are we protecting their information? How are we doing that? So that's how you know you're like in this stage now. You're like, you mature the tech foundation. And there's a lot of things that come inside of the cybersecurity cycle, which one of them is understanding how your data flows. When it comes to cybersecurity itself, it's not just about the technology. It's not just about you putting in place a software on your computer that is protecting your computer. It's also about policies, technology, and training. All of those things make up cybersecurity itself. So one of those things is, okay, we already have the technology, we have the protection, maybe the firewall in place. Now let's start moving into, do I have a policy for my offshore employees? What am I doing for them to make sure that my data is secure, right? Do I have a mobile device management in place? So if I'm using my personal device, what am I protecting from my business? And how am I also protecting the privacy of my employees if they're using their private or their personal devices? And then the training is all about making sure that you, at least on a monthly basis, you're training your team on the latest things that are going out there in terms of cybersecurity. So making sure that you're doing a quick 5-minute video every month. You're also maybe even testing them to see if they fall for a simulation phishing email. Based off of that, then you can have some reporting from the management side and the executive side and say, hey, it's not about pointing fingers, but we're doing it because we want to see where our holes are, right? Where the weakest link is in our organization.
So you do the stuff with your clients?
We do provide all of the kind of like the cybersecurity foundation, everything that's needed for that. And I'm just talking about like why it's important, but then also think about it from the FTC regulations that came out in June. Those things are in place for a reason, right? You have to have those things in place. And that's the reason why.
So this is like really good information that we're providing to everybody right now. So thank you. It's definitely making me think about certain things even with my own firm, but I kind of want to go into a background real quick. I am fairly new to this, right? I've been on my own for just about 3 years now, and I had to make a decision when I went out on my own. What am I going to do? I came from a firm that had a server. We did some things in the cloud, but a lot of what we did was on a server. So I knew that the server wasn't going to be right for me because here I am, I'm working from home. It doesn't really make sense for me to set up a big server. I was by myself at first. So I want to do as much as I can remote as possible. I did seek out an IT firm that I had experience with in the past. It wasn't a great experience, but I did get set up with a firewall and all of the important outside security measures, like you're saying, you know, is the first kind of piece of the puzzles. Like, what am I going to do? Okay, I need to hire somebody to help me with the basics, like setting up my email, my website, making sure everything's secure. I did choose to host my tax program remotely as well, because I know that's something, if you're not using a software that is on the web, you do have to host it remotely, because a lot of the programs require a server type of system. So I'm a Lacert user. So I actually host it through Writeworks. So that's, you know, off my plate. And the thing that I think is scary for new businesses or for CPAs who are not in the cloud yet is the subscriptions. That is, I think, what scares people away from hiring an IT company, from utilizing these remote softwares. Yeah, it costs per seat per month to host my software or even to have my IT company, but it's the best money that I've ever spent. And if I had to buy a server for $15,000 and have to replace it, every 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, five years.
Like, it would be the same. It's like half dozen one, six in the other. Like, people have to get out of that mindset of like, oh, wait, this is the way I'm going to run it. And I don't want to pay all of these little fees. Like, at the end of the day, you're going to be much better set up than having to replace this. I mean, listen, there's larger firms that need a server, what have you. But if you're a smaller firm, I'm a big proponent of utilizing the cloud. But then you get to that next step and you're like, okay, now that I'm utilizing everything in the cloud and I'm using all of these cool subscriptions, am I doing it the right way? And am I utilizing the subscriptions that are protecting my data, right? Like, you can use Loom and it's a free version of Loom, but your data is not protected if you use the free version, right? Like, all these little things. So you are actually going in, doing a deep dive of what people are using, testing these things out. And it's really easy for small things to slip through the cracks to make sure that your butt is covered. And, you know, where we work in an industry where most of us are utilizing social security numbers, dates of birth, addresses, bank account information, I don't think you could be more exposed than us. So the FTC and the IRS have said you need to have these certain practices in place for your practice. And like you said, in June, these new regulations came around. You need to have this written information security plan. You need to be working with your staff on a regular basis to make sure everything's updated and working. Are you providing these plans for your clients?
Yeah, so we are basically covering what those regulations are forcing you guys to have. Last year was a big year to get a lot of these requests where, hey, can you set up a WISP policy for me? It's good to have it, right? Like, I know it's required for you guys to have it, but also understanding why those things are being required. So it's not just about like, hey, let's put a document together to just say what we're actually having inside of our organization to protect our client's information, but actually following through it. So just a little bit of like explanation on the WISP policy. Just think of it like a business plan where we start a business, right? Like, we have a vision of what it's going to look like for our business. The WISP policy is basically doing the same thing, but from the cybersecurity side of things. So like, what are we actually going to do in the business to protect our clients' information? And then it's going to list out all the things that you guys are going to put together. Yeah, we're taking care of all of that for our clients.
I think it's so important for people to realize you are the expert in IT. I like to think, you know, I am pretty tech savvy. I've always wanted to play around with the computer too, or was like teaching other people from a young age. It's either intuitive to you or it's not, I feel like. And I know enough, but I don't know as much as you know or, you know, my IT team. And it's really important to know that you need to stay in your lane and you need to outsource this huge feat and have somebody like you that is up on any of these breaches and is able to identify, like you said, the holes in your security within the firm, because I'm sure you've experienced issues with clients. Is there one really bad situation that you can share with us for some sort of data breach or some sort of aftermath? Because I've heard quite a few and I'm not an IT person.
Yeah, so there's a couple. I think the one that's more foundational that we kind of like overlook, we're not even talking about like full cybersecurity. This is like the tech foundation that I was mentioning, having a backup in place. We experienced something last year where a client had a physical server and the hard drive corrupted on the server. And there was currently no data backup that aligned with their business. When I'm talking about like data backup that aligns with the business means that we're fully like diving into the backup to make sure that you guys can be up and running at the time that you guys can afford to be down for. If I'm putting a backup in place, I want to make sure that you guys know that once something major happens, that you guys know when you guys are going to be back up and running. With this client, basically, it was the October deadline and they were just underwater. So we basically had to go through a lot of hurdles to make sure that they were up and running again, because basically out of nowhere, this server just went down. Their tax prep software was in there. Their practice management system was in there. And unfortunately, they were down for a couple of weeks. Although we were in the plan of transferring over to the cloud, this is something that we want to make sure that we're not pushing, right? Because sometimes it's easier to just say, hey, let me just leave this for the end of the year when I'm less busy. That was the plan, right? Like, we're going to do this at the end of the year, but it happened prior to that. If you don't have anything in place, make sure that whatever you have in terms of backup is aligning with your business.
That's a really good point, because I mentioned a firewall before, but I do have this backup drive. And I think that people who are on their own don't think of having that sort of system. Mm-hmm. And to put it into layman's terms, it's like we have this backup drive that takes a picture of our computer and backs it up every minute or every, you know, hour, or whatever it is, so that if I was down and my computer just completely was obliterated, like, then I could be up and running within an hour and with a new computer. But if you don't have anything like that in place, like, it may take 3 weeks. Like, can you imagine shutting down your accounting firm for 3 weeks and not having access to data? That's crazy.
I feel like what you provide, and I don't know if this is true, but in the IT industry, it feels like this is similar to accounting industry, where a lot of accountants that are not specializing or not on cloud, old school way, is similar in the IT industry. Because, you know, I have an IT person, but all those things that you talked about never mentioned to me. And I feel like I get the same thing from my clients. So they come to me and say, oh, my CPA doesn't do any proactive planning, doesn't do any tax planning. He doesn't tell me all those different things about how to do this and that and blah, blah, blah. It just tells me to send information over, I plug in the numbers and file the taxes. And I feel like it's the same thing in the IT industry, where my IT guy, I come to him for ideas that we should do, like for laptops, for example. A lot of my staff are remote and work from home, or, you know, they have laptops. The firms I worked at prior to open my firm all had laptops. So my IT guys know, I said, you should use a desktop. I was like, but why every firm I worked at used laptops and you're saying they use a desktop? It's not convenient if I want to move around to use a desktop. I'm not getting those things you mentioned, the security, the cybersecurity, the actions should take. I even told him we should at least once a year call my team and let them know about the IT things that the security should watch out for. I used to have the same things that other firms I used to work at, where their IT will give them like updates on what's going on, what she should watch out for and stuff like that. So yeah, so I think like a lot of firms are missing that too. If I'm missing that, and I think it's hard to find a person like you, because I did look around and every IT industry company I look at, They're the same. They don't differentiate themselves to say, I'm CPAs or like I can understand your industry. It's very general, right? Very similar to us in a way, but you guys are more IT. And so I think a lot of firms should be looking at this and making sure that their information is protected and should be more like you. You're the only one in a field that I know of. So that's a good thing for now.
I would say it all comes down to what you guys are saying, right? I think we keep hearing IT guy or IT person. Let's differentiate what that means, right? It's kind of like in the accounting industry, right? A bookkeepers and tax strategist, right? Or the advisory, right? Like those are all separate items, but in a way, they all kind of come together and make up the whole cycle mm-hmm. of your financial or your accounting. So there's some IT people that are very focused on the hardware and software, and that's mm-hmm. it, right? Oh, or like, I'm just going to be reactive about things. When something happens to you, then I'm going to come and I'm going to fix it. But then you need that fractional CTO, like the chief technology officer or the information security officer that is actually looking at from a 360 view and looking mm-hmm. at what we need to fix here or how do we get to where we want to be.
I think that a lot of people are going to be reaching out to you after they listen to this episode. So thank you for dropping some really great knowledge. I really am so thankful for having you on the episode today. We could probably film other episodes just diving into what to do and what not to do because it's so important. This is vital information. So for all of our listeners out there, Danny, where is the best place that we can find you?
You can reach me at my website, so tsquare.it, or you can also find me on LinkedIn. It's Daniel Tobone. I mean, that should be pretty available there as well. So thank you so much for having me.
Great. Thank you so much. And thanks for listening to another episode of From Zero to Millions.
If you've been loving the energy and insights we bring to each episode, we'd love to hear from you.
Head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and written review to let us know what your favorite part of the show is.
Your feedback helps us reach more professionals who could benefit from the show and create more episodes you love.
We can't wait to hear your thoughts.